Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, we're back. Marks and Reese. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now. Text the following word, theme. To 72881. Text the word theme to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide text will win $1,000. Another chance to win tomorrow with 3 p.m. Every day on WIP, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and again at 4 p.m. It's all powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in more with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BETQL, BetQL. One more time, theme to 72881. We'll do it again at 4 o'clock. Today, Yaron Weitzman, NBA writer for Fox Sports, also the author of Tanking to the Top, the Philadelphia 76ers and the most audacious process in the history of professional sports, is on the line as he did a deep dive into Ben Simmons and the 76ers. Yaron, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm never more popular than after a Sixers collapse. It's like a yearly thing now. It's great.
Well, especially when Ben Simmons struggles like he did. So let me ask you this. You did a great job, and I encourage everybody to check out the article. We'll tweet it out here. But the chapters have already been written in the Ben Simmons story, right? And it seems like that he's regressed from his rookie year. But like, in your opinion, following it as closely as you have, what's the next chapter? Is it here? Can it be here? Will it work here?
So I would say, and by the way, the regressing part is crazy. When I was researching that story, I don't know if you've seen it, like the clip of him at Summer League in 2016, 2017, it's unbelievable, right?
Shooting fadeaways, taking jump shots, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's beautiful, but just like that looks like a totally different player. It's crazy. I think this is going to be it. No one's told me that, I don't know, but it just sort of certainly seems like it for a host of reasons, namely his head coach was willing to throw him under the bus in 3 seconds after the game, right? Which kind of stood out. Joel Embiid also was pretty clear where he was planning on laying the blame for that series. And then they've gone up against it for a few years, and we know Daryl Morey is not exactly Mr. Passive, though he was at the trade deadline this year, which I think maybe Sixers fans could be a little upset about. And I just think we've got enough evidence here that the fit is not great. The idea that him and Embiid, like they can play together, it works. We've seen that they're good, but are they ever going to be able to win a championship with those two? Or can you, in a league with a salary cap, can you win a championship if one of your players is a center and your other max guy is a non-perimeter creator, right? I don't think you can. And that's the case. I think we'll probably see a trade.
Well, I would think most Sixers fans, if that were the case, would be interested in what type of value does Ben Simmons have out there right now? So what would he bring back if they put him out there in a trade?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right? Certainly not like, so I guess you guys on your station, whatever, 6 months ago were probably debating should they be willing to give him up for James Harden, right? And that certainly seems like ages ago, that's a previous era. It would not be that guy. Like, you would not – if disgruntled Star X, I don't know, let's say Bradley Beal asked for a trade, right? Are the Sixers winning that sweepstakes with Ben Simmons? I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe other teams perceive it. Because, again, one of the issues with Ben Simmons, and you're going to run into this, and this is where trades can be difficult. You have to take two ways. One is he's a player, and Sixers fans have seen this. His skill set, he does not fit with every team, right? It does not work with every team. You need specific guys around him. The other way around it is, because the Sixers have Embiid and he's great, but you need guys coming back who can contribute to winning now and can help you win now and are perimeter oriented as well. So that's going to cut off, half the league, if not more. So the obvious names everyone's nothing. I'm not nothing unique here, but the CJ McCollum, Zach LaVine, Malcolm Brogdon types, like that would be the where I would look, and where I assume the Sixers will try to look as well.
Yaron, how do we get here? Based on your reporting, yeah. and you've been doing this for a number of years, so you're just kind of adding on to the reporting that you're doing. How did Ben go from where, like you said, that summer league tape where it's like, wow, he can really do everything. He's the next player of the generation, to where he's afraid to take a dunk with a 6 foot player coming at him.
Yeah, that's one of the weird parts. So I'll answer your question. Like, to me, and in my story, there's a little Q&A 5 minute back and forth that I had with Ben about a year and a half ago about shooting threes. And I think it's interesting and why he doesn't take corner threes. But the crazy part is, like, the corner three conversation is done. Forget the corner threes now. Let's just talk about being willing to catch the ball and look at the hoop in the half court, right? Like, it's not even – we've moved past the shooting part. It's like he dug in so much, and I don't even know – it's unprecedented. So the way we end up here, I don't really know. And that's like – I can tell you previous coaching staffs and front office, they were baffled by his refusal to shoot. Now this is different, like, forget even scoring, but by his refusal to shoot. You know, people – Monty Williams worked with him a ton. Brett Brown worked with him. Other shooting coaches, like, it wasn't pretty, but he would he could shoot in practice and he could hit it. And his fans would showing up to a game early.
Does he work on his game? We see it at the game.
They should have open practices there so we can come down just watch him shoot the ball and be happy that way.
Exactly. This is my understanding, right? So the work, there are a lot of people say he doesn't put in the work. I think he does. Maybe he's not. And I've had people, when I say I think, I've had people tell me he puts in the work. Maybe not as much as people want, but like, despite putting the work, like he takes practice jumpers, but any NBA player, you cannot put in any work at all, right? You cannot put in any work and you're still putting up, I don't know, 500 shots a day, whatever the number is, right? Like, you're still putting in that work and more than we would assume given what the results are. So, I mean, I did reporting on this and checking back with some sources, you know, before I wrote this story, people are telling me, at least later on in his career, early on, there were more issues with the work. Later on, he puts in the work. It's just, and that's almost what made it more baffling to some of the coaches like Brett Brown and other people, that the work was there and maybe the results weren't quite there, but like there were some results and it just wasn't translating into a willingness to take the shots on the court. And he just kept digging in. And part of it, I think, is, you know, and they had some success his rookie year, and they started, you know, they had success with the shooting coach in the Sixers, and Ben decided to work with his half brother instead, which some people have turned to as maybe not being a great idea. He's very family oriented and very much of a close circle. And it's kind of like more, I compare more almost to like a celebrity and someone who was groomed from youth, from a kid, as being a child star, as opposed to like a normal basketball prospect, and maybe think of it that way.
Yeah. That's why dad gets like 10% of his blame. That jumper should have been worked on when he was like seven or eight years old, man. Let me ask you this question, because we're also throwing this around too. The possibility of Ben being moved from a quote-unquote point guard to a predominantly front court player, power forward position, and sort of being in a sort of Draymond Green type of role. You think that is possible? And can Doc Rivers coach that type of player in his system?
So separate questions. One, I imagine – so Ben does not want to do that. Maybe that'll change this year. He's been big on this. I am a point guard. He has said that since he came in. That's a big thing. He views himself as a point guard. He thinks he's dynamic, creative. That's his position. That's what he played. That's what he's always played. Yeah. I wrote in the story, and this isn't totally unique, but that's contributed to the Sixers not bringing back Jimmy Butler, is that they were worried about Ben's reaction and how he would handle long-term not having the keys of the offense, crunch time offense, the way that happened in the Toronto series. Mm-hmm. So that's that perspective. The other perspective is like the Draymond Green stuff is great, but you have to be willing to play that role. And again, cut and move and flash the open. If the guy's sagging off of you, go into a quick dribble handoff with a shooter because your guy can't help down the screen. Like, there are things he could do that he's just not doing. And I don't know why. And I'm sure Doc Rivers is going to say, I don't know why. I would be very surprised if we see next season Ben Simmons on the Sixers as the only or as the sole perimeter ball handler creator. That would shock me, right? I mean, the guy, like, maybe they get a guy like Kyle Lowry who he doesn't have to play point guard all the time, but he can kind of run the offense a little bit. Like, no one's saying Ben Simmons, if he gets a rebound, should give the ball to somebody else and let them bring it up. Everyone's like, transition, right. Go ahead, right?
Right.
All that
right.
Stuff, great.
Right.
God bless. But it's in the playoffs and in crunch time, you need somebody who can generate something from the perimeter.
Yeah, man. I tell you, and that actually fits into what Doc said he wanted Ben to do, is just basically get the ball off the glass and then fast break, go ahead and run. And Draymond does that at times with the Golden State offense. Yep. He get the ball off the glass and run with it. So I'm just – what it sounds like to me is, quite frankly, this is a Ben Simmons issue. Like, Ben Simmons seems to put – he puts parameters up around himself to where he'll say, I'm not coming outside of this box. This is my comfort zone. This is where I'm at. I don't care what you guys suggest that would improve my game. This is what I'm comfortable doing, and this is what I want to do. And no one seemed to can get him to change that way of thinking. That's a stubbornness, right? Just some stubbornness there.
I think so. And so there's part of it, right? It's a stubbornness, and the other people in his camp will say no. Like, look, and they say go on the block, and he goes on the block, but he's doing it almost too passively, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. There is a stubbornness to it. I agree. Not willing to change. And forget even not willing to change is also a part, and this maybe is not his fault. I guess you can blame his limitations on him, and that's his fault. But his limitations create certain, to use your word, parameters for that.
Right.
In terms of roster building, it makes it really hard. Like, you cannot just get anybody. You need specific players and skill sets to build around him, and that makes it really difficult as well.
Mm. Weitzman, you can check out the article. Just go to our Twitter page, MarksReeseWIP. We tweeted it out, and you can also follow him on Twitter. Great stuff, man. Appreciate it. And listen, we'll next thing that happens with Ben, you're the first guy we call, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. There he is. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I will say, right, I don't think any of that surprises me, but maybe this is something Doc was hinting at. You know, Doc has a way of backpedaling and admitting that he was wrong without actually doing it, you know, because some of the little suggestions that he's made, oh, you got to hit rock bottom to change things. Yeah, Doc, that's saying you just hit rock bottom till you lost game 7 at home. So you're going to change as well, some of your little thinking and the way that you do things. But with Ben, maybe this is rock bottom for him, and now he has to, because now it's more of a national thing. This isn't just Philadelphia picking on Ben Simmons and doesn't appreciate Ben Simmons. National talk shows are talking about what they should do with Ben Simmons. Yep. And guess what none of them have said? Leave him at point guard. He's a generational player. It's okay. Not nobody is saying what Doc Rivers has been saying, that it's okay to not shoot the ball and scoring isn't important. Yeah. They may have been saying that prior to this series. Nobody's saying that right now.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, John, to your point, and really how I feel as well, but I'm just seeing that it is a difficult obstacle that they're going to have to overcome trying to move him. It's one thing, his salary. The bigger issue is his game and having a roster that fits his game, that justifies his salary and his abilities. So the league is saying, no, buddy, you're not going to pass that problem off on us. That's your problem. You fix that with him. So you got to find a team that's willing to take Ben Simmons on. But you hear a lot more people saying, Ben's got to go.
Yeah.
National people. They got to trade him.
Yeah, they're shocked. The national people are like, I can't believe it's gotten this bad.
Yes.
Right, we saw it kind of trending in that direction. To your point, we'll get back to the phones in a second. To your point of hitting rock bottom, you're right. And now it's whether or not, A, he sees that or feels that, and B, what direction does he go?
Right.
Does he say, I'm okay with being traded, and then he goes and does the same thing in Portland, but no one really pays attention because it's Portland and no one's expecting them to win, and Dame gets mad.
And his money is already guaranteed.
Right.
He's got his max deal already.
And they're happy because they get rid of McCollum and everything else. Or does he say, you know what, like, this is not who I want to be as a player. This is not how – because, like, listen, if he continues to do what he's doing, he'll be a defensive player, but he'll be looked at as a role player that's overpaid.
Yep.
Does he want to be looked at it like that, or does he realize, like, hey, listen, I can do better. This is something going on in my head, and let me fix this. Let me make a change right now. Ike, I honestly don't know.
I don't, man. Only Ben knows.
I don't know.
Like, is he going to accept the help when they certainly want to get him a shot doctor and everything else, but does he actually do it?
So, like I was thinking about that too last night, what you said was, like, what was Doc talking about when he was cryptically saying he's got things in mind, or they go into the YMCA and he's going to blow the whistle and he's going to have Ben doing drills or something. Here's a guess. They're going to have him shoot with his right hand from the foul line now.
Okay.
Because that's been talked about before.
Sure.
Yaron wrote that in the piece. Colangelo actually was pushing him to do that when Colangelo was here. Mm-hmm. So now it's being like, hey, listen, you're just going to do this. Like, this is what we're doing. You're shooting right-handed.
Yeah, but see, I believe, and I'm okay with that. If that's what it is, then I'm fine with that. But to me, Doc also almost tried to focus too much on free throw shooting.
All the other stuff didn't
matter.
Yeah,
and at one point he even said, if we get that part corrected, everything else will be unlocked for him.
Right.
Really? So free throw shooting has cut down his entire game.
It's the key to making aggressive Ben getting him back.
And hold on, how about shooting an open 15-foot jump shot? How about those things? Because in all honesty, and still until he adds that to his game as well, he's going to be a liability in a half-court offense at times.
We see it every year.
It just is. Nope. So it's not just about his free throws. It's the other part of playing basketball in today's game that he needs to get confidence in adding. And we keep bringing up the summer game highlights. Well, that's even more frustrating evidence that we know he has the ability to do it. We know he has the ability to do it. So it's not like he can't do that. It's not just free throws, Doc. It's the whole offensive repertoire. It's limited.
He's doing turnarounds from the elbow. I mean, like
fadeaways, one leg, one foot shot, like that's
jumpers.
Yes.
He's doing like, and that wasn't
like
that long ago.
Like a basketball player looks.
Yep. And now he's afraid to dunk on Trae Young.
Right.
Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Hey, guys, if you're getting engaged, there's one place to go. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. Support the home team. You won't regret it. You can book an appointment with a diamond expert right on their website, marks-jewelers.com. I actually tweeted a question out. I didn't like Jack's question.
Uh-oh.
Be mad or sad if he's gone.
Well, I'm just trying to feed the emotions of the city. A very emotional show. Emotional intelligence show, some say.
Would you trade Ben Simmons? Some do say that. Would you trade Ben Simmons for C.J. McCollum straight up? Yes or no? 63%. Honestly, Ike, 63% mm-hmm. saying yes tells me that they don't really want to do it. Because I would have thought that'd be 80%.
Oh, yeah. Well, people are still mad. They want to get rid of him.
Right.
So it's people that are trading for a bag of balls right now.
Only 63%, though. Is, you know, that's all, you know, 60-40 almost.
I would not do that straight up.
Let's go to the phones. We have G. G's calling from South Philadelphia. G, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys feeling today?
Hi, G.
What's up, G?
Just to answer your guys' question, man. I want him out of here. I'm gonna agree with Marks on this one. I just think we got a guy who's been playing point guard all his life, and he still looks like a fish out of water out there. And now I'm saying you want to try him out at power forward now? It just doesn't make any sense. This guy has a mental block that who knows can unlock it. And we wasted 4 or 5 years with this guy already. It's just like, why would we waste another one? In the meantime, we're wasting another year. We're wasting another year of Embiid's timeline of how long he could be great for. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is like the third playoff performance we've seen from him in 4 years. Last year, he didn't make it because he got injured or whatever like that. But this is the third time we've seen him shrink up. He could do all that run and gun stuff in the regular season. That's the regular season. But in the playoff basketball, you got to play half-court basketball. You have no half-court game, and you could twirl in a rock. You're useless. You understand what I'm saying? This year was just like, I don't know, maybe it was like exposed on a larger scale because we were the number one seed and we lost to the 5 seed. So now it's like a bigger story. But we've been having this talk for a long time now that this is his game. This is who he is. You heard the reporter just say, he's gung-ho on being the point guard. And all of a sudden, you want to stick him in at the power forward. It's just not going to work.
Here's the thing, though, G. It would work if he would embrace it. Now, if you're going to tell me he's not going to embrace it and he's going to pout and everything else, then, yeah, you're going to eventually have to get rid of him. I'm just trying to give you a solution to get you through the meantime until there's a better opportunity there. There's a better opportunity there. So you guys are too much in your emotions right now. Ah, man, trade Carson Wentz, get him out. He's a bum. Jalen Hurts is the top 10 quarterback. We got our franchise guy. Yeah, and 2 months later, everybody's mad. Come on, man. Like, yeah, we all in our emotions right now. And I'm just saying I wouldn't move Ben Simmons unless I'm getting a star player back that's going to improve my team. It's going to give me a greater opportunity to win than I had now. And if that means I got to be stuck with Ben Simmons, well, then the future Hall of Fame basketball coach that we have needs to find a way to fix him, to put him in a position. He did it with Rondo. He won a championship with Rondo as his point guard. And he never shot because he had Paul Pierce, he had Ray Allen, and he had Kevin Garnett. Now, granted, that's three Hall of Famers. I get that. We don't have three Hall of Famers on our team. But what I'm saddling Daryl Morey with and Doc Rivers is to go out there and continue to construct this team. And you can hide Ben's deficiencies and highlight what he does well while he continues to improve his trade value at 24 years old. You can still move him. But moving him right now for some two-bit player you're going to want to get rid of in a year or two because you still don't have a championship or Ben Simmons or the draft picks that you're giving up and everything else, we're going to be starting over. We're going to be starting over. Ben Simmons is young enough. He's actually young enough that he doesn't have to be moved immediately. He just doesn't. So I'm not doing that unless I know I'm getting something better. Unless I know I'm getting something better. You want to tell me Dame is coming? You want to tell me Bradley Beal is coming? Zach LaVine? Hey, I'll call the Uber. No, he don't need an Uber. He got luxury vehicles. Yeah, he won't need that. But I'm saying, that we can get him
Herb
up out of here
pick
quick.
Him up.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever, yeah. Get him out of here quick. I got
Herb
no problem.
Herb will stop in Omaha on his way to wherever he's going.
Herb would come home from Omaha. Is he in Omaha right now?
College World Series is going on, so probably.
He did call on Friday, but I don't remember when he said he was leaving.
No, the problem is, like, Dwight Howard, Danny Green, Mike Scott, I believe, are free agents.
Yes.
So that's a little salary space for you.
Furkan.
Furkan's a free agent?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit of salary space for you.
Yeah, but once you clear it, the only thing you would have is the mid-level.
Right.
So if you didn't re-sign these guys, you'd be able to – so, like, $8.5 million you'd be able to give to a player, which is, like – all right, you can get like a better George Hill.
That's going to be a one-year deal guy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a one-year deal guy. I'm just trying to figure out how they get Kyle Lowry here.
Well, you trade, you would have to include, like, re-sign Danny Green to a $15 million contract and include Mike Scott. I mean, you would have to pack the salary to whatever his contract, Kyle Lowry's contract is. What's Lowry making, 25?
30.
So he's 3 for 30 probably? Right, because he's a free agent. So whatever you sign him to, you have to come within a certain amount of that. And to your point, Maxey's only making $2, $3 million.
Yeah,
so now you need to come up with another $25, $27 million in salary to match it.
Yeah.
And you had guys last year that were making money that you were willing, like Mike Scott was making $8, $9 million a year. They were ready to ship him out. He's a free agent.
What?
Huh?
What did Mike Scott do?
He stinks. No, he's terrible. He's terrible. 215-592-9494. So we talked about Daryl Morey. We played you the back and forth with the King. Does he want Ben Simmons back? He spoke earlier today. We give you the best of. What did the Sixers president of basketball ops have to say about Ben and his team? You hear that next. Marks and Reese, 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.